back to Dorm Room Sports San Diego. We got the STSU podcast right now. March Madness coming up starting tomorrow. We got the first four going on right now, of course. We're going to get into it, though. Joining you, Garrett, as always, Grant, Trevor, all with me. And joining us, very special guest, David Leland, runs SD Fan Central. He's on to talk some Aztecs basketball, some March Madness. Can't wait. David, how we doing?
Good. How about you guys?
Doing great.
Ready. We're ready.
All right.
A little madness coming up.
Oh, yeah. A lot of madness coming up. So, let's get started then. First things first, we're going to take care of the local beer of the week. This week, we have from Pizza Port Brewing Company, the first brewing company in Northern San Diego. Shout out. We got a California honey we're working on here. We also got one of their Indian IPAs, Indian Pale IPAs. How we thinking, boys?
Great. I like it. Smooth. I like the honey one. You know.
It is very smooth.
Blonde ale. Can't go wrong. I like Pizza Port and all their beers, you know. Great beer. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us. Shout out Pizza Port. Yeah. I'm giving this. Dude, I really like this one, actually. I'm giving you an 8.2 on this one.
Eight.
Pretty solid. All right. With that being said, let's get into SDSU basketball. Just took care of business in the Mountain West Championship. We're finally getting to see them in the tournament after last year, of course. COVID destroyed about the best year we had going as a San Diego State basketball team. I guess I want to start off sort of comparing where we were going into the tournament. Last year, we never actually got to a bracket, of course. We're expecting them to be a two seed. I don't know. How do we feel about the team right now compared to last year's team, I suppose? David, you want to start us off?
Well, I think just last year's team was just a huge missed opportunity because not only a two seed, like you said, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight would have been, I believe it would have been at Staples Center up in L.A., so we would have had all our fans mm-hmm. going up there. It would have been basically a home game for us in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, so yeah. I think that's a big missed opportunity. Obviously, this year's team isn't as good, but they're still pretty darn good, I'd say.
100%, yeah. I don't know. There's something about this year's team that, like,
they're
that
playing
excites
with,
me a little bit.
They're playing with a chip on their shoulder this
they're
year, which I
chip.
Like.
Yeah.
They seem like they have a new form of, like, a team feel. I don't even know how to explain it,
yeah,
honestly,
no,
you know?
That's definitely true. I mean, you can see that with, like, the way they spread around their minutes. Like, it is very, very team basketball with this team.
That's true. We're going deep in the minutes with some of these guys. Or deep in the roster.
Like, it's not as much like you had, like, Malachi Flynn, like, last year, really the star. Like, it's just a lot more spread out and even this year.
Mm-hmm.
The way I like to see it is, like you said, there is, like Trevor said, there is a chip on their shoulder. Because you do have guys coming back, like Jordan Shackle, Matt Mitchell, mm-hmm. Trey Pulliam, guys who were key contributors
guys.
To that team last year who didn't get their chance. So mm-hmm. they're like, we didn't get our chance last year, we got to take advantage this year, which I think is a big benefit to us. And then Gomez transferred here just to play in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. kind of like Fagan did last year, and I really feel bad for KJ because him and Yanni came here to play in the yep. tournament, and then we had this great team, and then, yeah.
Oh, man.
Gomez was a little luckier, though.
Yeah. Could you imagine if KJ was back on this team this year?
Oh my God,
that'd be
incredible.
Especially because Pulliam didn't play well the first half of the season.
He's turning it around.
Oh,
though.
He's coming around
say,
big
he's
time.
Turning it around.
I think that's a big reason for this win streak is him.
Yes, 100%, which we haven't lost since January 16th, I believe, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. We're on a roll right now. We're on a roll, but like you guys were saying, there's something about this team where it's like they have a chip on their shoulder, like definitely because they weren't able to play in March Madness last year, where it felt like coming into the season when we start off on like UCLA and we beat the brakes off of them, like it just felt like they were coming in on a mission, whereas last year, like MAP champs, of course, repping the shirt, but last year it's like we started off on this amazing winning streak. And it seemed like most of the year was more so like a celebration, mm-hmm. like, whoa, like we are this good right now. This is crazy. Whereas this year, it's been all about March the entire year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been more about making the run in March this year because we did the damn thing last year, went undefeated, was the last undefeated thing. And it felt like we were celebrating that. And then everything got ripped away from us as San Diego sports seem to do time again. Time and time again, they rip it away from us. So this year, I feel like we were saying, that team's got something to prove, and hopefully they feel that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. So Mountain West tournament just finished. Thank God we won that one, because last year, I mean, that was heartbreaking, the fact that we didn't even win the tournament last year.
I'm just glad we finally beat Utah State after we lost to them twice in the regular season this year, and then they beat us in the previous two Mountain West championship games. I'm glad we finally got them this year.
Finally, finally. So yeah, with that being said, I mean, we had a scare too. We had a scare with Wyoming there.
Oh my God.
Came down to the wire.
Once again, that's what San Diego sports will do to you.
It got to make it grueling at some point for you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we barely escaped Wyoming, played well against Nevada, I felt like. Other than Utah State, yeah, we played great. What'd you think of the game overall? Just performance overall, I guess, in the tournament.
Always seems like that first game, that quarterfinal game, is always kind of like, I don't know, I guess a trap game for
us.
Exactly,
yeah.
Because it seems like that's always our toughest game, like, that goes down to the wire the most. And I think it's because, you know, it's that weird time. It's a, like, what, noon game?
Yeah,
Thursday.
I think so.
It seems like those weird start times always throw us off. Every year, regular season, too. Like, the San Jose State game we almost lost.
Oh, my God.
That Malachi saved us with the buzzer beater. That
was unbelievable.
What was that, a Saturday at noon?
It was
Sunday at
noon.
It
was early. That was an early game.
It was like a Sunday at noon. And then the Northridge game on New Year's Day in 2019, we were down a ton.
That buzzer beater.
We were down a ton
was
at halftime.
We were probably playing Terry Gomez, huh?
Yeah, on New Year's Day 2019, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then the Pepperdine game this year where we got off to a slow start and came back.
Yes,
That was a Sunday
one.
At noon.
Yeah.
See, it's those early
it's interesting.
Games that
I never thought
throw
of it
us off. So I think that's part of what makes the quarterfinal the toughest game for us. And Wyoming had a great game plan. I mean, they held the ball up until like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
shot
just
a long
take the
three
clock.
And made it half the time.
Yeah.
So they had a good game plan, but we were still able to pull it out. And once we got past that, it was like, okay, we survived that. Now we just got to do our thing.
Yeah.
And we did. So
Wyoming was also unconscious from three that game.
Yeah.
No, I know.
That was
some
ridiculous.
Of the shots
they
made
missed.
In that game were so ridiculous.
They were banking in threes. I was like,
yeah, the guy in his face,
doing?
Like 10 feet behind the 3-point line, just throws up as a shot clock.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing is that those are the games that like those top seeds always lose is when it's just like the other team, like they're not really like amazing. They didn't have like much of a game plan
UMBC?
To shut you down. But yeah, they make everything.
Yeah, yeah, UMBC did that when they upset Virginia. They did the same thing every time. They just ran to the 3-point line in the corner.
Yep.
I mean, when you're that overmatched, like, that's kind of the only game plan you have.
I'm not going to lie. In the Pac-12 tourney, that's kind of what happened against Oregon with Oregon State.
Yeah.
Like, we were just hitting everything.
Interesting. But, so, thankfully, going into this game, looking at the Syracuse matchup, we're not playing a nude game.
6 p.m. start, yes.
6 p.m. or 6:40?
6:40.
I believe it's 6:40. Okay, 6:40.
With the other games in front, it'll probably end up being more like 7:40.
Yeah, exactly.
But the later, the better for us.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and we got Syracuse coming over East Coast, too. We got the advantage there.
Yep.
I mean, it's in Indiana, so it's kind of halfway in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, time-wise.
Yeah.
It's going to be late for them.
Our guys are a little used to that later
West Coast.
Time, I guess.
Yeah. No, they're used to the West Coast, 6 p.m. It's going to be almost 10 p.m. over there.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Like I said, by the time the game actually starts, it'll be probably closer to 11 Eastern.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
That's going to be a late game for Syracuse. But looking at Syracuse, too, in our matchup with them, I mean, we 100% should win this game. We're the better team.
Ooh, he's saying
but
it
we're
like
we're going
that.
Against the 2-3 zone. We're going against a Jim Boeheim coach team. It's Syracuse. They're sort of blue blood. They're a blue blood, I would say. But how do you feel? How do you feel, David? Going into this, boys, how do we feel?
The way I feel about this is, what do they always say when you're facing zone? Try and shoot a team out of the zone.
Yep.
And we got 3-point shooters
exactly.
with Shackle, Mitchell, Terrell Gomez. You know, we got guys who can shoot the three ball. And another thing you got to do against the zone is that little mid-range jumper, like on the free throw line.
Elbow, yeah.
Yeah, we got guys who can do that. And I think another thing is Trey Pulliam, the last several games, he's been making that little runner.
Yes.
That's going to be huge
Perfect,
against
yes.
the zone. try and get that little runner in there in the soft spot in the zone, that's going to be huge. So that's why I'm really glad to see Pulliam play the way he has, because that's going to be big against Syracuse. Besides, obviously, the three-point shooting is getting into the mid-range around the free throw line, like I was saying, and Pulliam get his little runner in the soft spot.
Yeah, that's my concern for us. Of course, like, if we shoot how we shoot, we're going to be fine against the zone because we're just going to shoot like that. But if our three-point shots aren't exactly hitting, I'm just worried we're not going to be able to get inside that zone. Like, I feel like at times we struggle actually getting penetration into the paint. I feel like Matt Mitchell's very good at it, but then Matt Mitchell doesn't have that type of vision to dish it out to find the open shooters as you would like to see him have. So it sketches me out a little bit in that matter, I guess.
If we don't shoot that well, it's going to come down to which Nathan Mensah is going to show up.
Yes, in the middle.
Consistent, very up and down. So what Nathan Mensah shows up is going to be huge if we're not shooting like we can shoot.
Yeah.
We need that Utah State Nathan Mensah. like he was playing.
Like we said, like 2-3 zone, like always known to make people shoot. You try to shoot out of it, but really the only way to break it down completely is to drive and find gaps, like he said. So it's a big deal if Pulliam can get in there, find gaps, find floaters. Mitchell, just bring one guy out of his zone spot to free up Shackle in the corner, something like that. It's not all just three-point shooting. So, there is still a reliance on being able to dribble, drive, and kick that needs to be pulled off. And having a big man like Mensah in the middle that could get some offensive rebounds or just be a spot to fill in the middle is huge for a 2-3 zone.
I feel like that's like the biggest thing about first-round matchups, too. It's like play defense, grab rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Play defense, grab rebounds. So, like, we cannot, like, and I'm sure Brian Dutcher is going to have a great game plan. I have all the confidence in the world in him. We can't fully spread out the floor. We got to stay down low. We got to be able to grab some offensive boards. We need I do like the athleticism that we have, though, to be able to grab those boards. Like, Tomiach has been great for us. We got Keyshawn coming off the bench. He's been fucking great. I mean, we have some, like, athletic guys that could grab boards.
Yeah, definitely.
But looking at Syracuse offensively, that has been the strong suit for Syracuse this year. Buddy Boeheim specifically has been a little bit unconscious. He's been on fire. He was on fire during the last like month or two, I believe. I haven't followed Syracuse too closely before this game, but been breaking it down. All I'm hearing is Buddy Boeheim.
Well, I think I saw a stat after the selection show that he was averaging, I don't know, 26, 27 points a game the last month.
Good. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's
in a 40-minute college game, that's off the charts.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
And then playing in Big East, right?
ACC.
ACC, okay.
Which, it was a weaker ACC.
This year, that's for sure.
Granted, it was a weaker ACC.
Weaker ACC, and they still had, what, 5 tournament teams?
Yeah, I know. It's ACC biased, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Okay, here's my thoughts, too. I was thinking about this. I feel like we should be matched up with Clemson, not Syracuse. I don't think Clemson's a 7 seed. And I don't think Syracuse is an 11, if I'm being honest. Clemson went on a stretch there during the year, but they have fallen off so much. Like, I would feel so much better about playing Clemson, if I'm being honest. I don't know. That's just some random thoughts there. But I was thinking about that today. I'm like, damn, I wish we were playing Clemson, actually. But overall, we're really good defensively, which definitely helps. We're top 10 opponents' points against. We're top 10 field goal percentage against. Syracuse has been hot, but we got the guys to guard Buddy Boeheim.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Yeah. I don't think a lot of teams have that. So that's a big advantage for us.
Yeah, big time. So.
And that's the thing is, like, that 2-3 zone, like, obviously that might be some trouble, but as long as you're shutting them down, it's not as big of a deal.
Very true.
Four more points.
Very true. Play defense, grab rebounds. Let Jordan Shekel shoot the 3-ball.
Offense,
we win.
Offense puts butts in the seats. Defense wins championships.
There it is. I've been moving, so let's go ahead. Let's, for the sake of the podcast, assume we beat Syracuse. Start looking ahead a tiny bit. We'd be looking at West Virginia more than likely. I'm assuming they beat Morehead State.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
That's going to be tough matchup.
West Virginia worries me because they're known for their press defense. And
as we say, it comes
it's the other Mountaineers.
And whenever teams press against us, we always seem to struggle with it. You know, we got some 5 counts, barely get the ball across, turnovers. And West Virginia, under Bob Huginson, is known for their their press. So that's a concern for me. I don't think West Virginia is like the greatest thing ever, but the fact that they have that ability to press does scare me. However, if we get past them, I think we'd beat Houston if we get past
Virginia. I need that rematch. That.
Yeah. So, yeah, if we get past West Virginia, more than likely we'll be playing Houston, who we lost to the last time we were in the tournament.
Houston, they're
brutal game.
I looked at their offense. They're, I believe it was 152nd in Division One in field goal percentage. Sounds about so that's right. Something special. Wow. I've watched them a couple times this year. They don't wow me at all.
They don't eat. Yeah.
And they're one of those defensive teams, and kind of like what happened to Virginia against UMBC, couple breakdowns, and, well, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they can't outscore teams.
And that's why I think this is probably the best region for San Diego State. Like, this is most likely the best chance they have at beating a two seed.
Yeah, would be Houston. I would think so, too. I think Houston's the weakest two seed.
Definitely.
Because, and they're playing Cleveland State as the 15, and I'm not saying Cleveland State's going to win, but if any of the 15s have a chance, it would probably be Cleveland State. Cleveland State, they are a team that just tries to outscore people, so they can put up points, and Houston has a couple breakdowns, Cleveland State will make them pay, and can Houston run with them? Who knows?
Houston too. I mean, their resume is overall not that impressive.
Yeah, I'm like, for a two seed too. I look at them. I'm like, they say these guys are great. Like, no, I just don't see it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's there. If we play well, it is there. West Virginia scares me. Then our one seed, we'd have to go up Illinois. Illinois, who they're on fire right now. So I mean, we're a long ways away from there, but if it came down to it, we'd see. We will see.
But hey, Oklahoma State's good, and they're gonna be the four in that region. Yeah, so that's not very exactly good a too. Gimme for.
I actually.
That's who I have.
Oklahoma State probably out of that region. Higher seed if they had been Texas in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean, they would have been.
They also. That's what scares me was that Big 12 championship. Team right now than they were in the beginning of the year.
They went on a
run. They have noticably improved as the year has gone along.
Yeah, and they got Cade Cunningham.
And Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham is unreal.
He is an issue.
If you're looking for somebody that's not a one or two seed that could go on a big run, you might want to look at Oklahoma State.
So funny enough,
Final Four.
I do too.
Yep.
I think I do in one bracket. I filled out like six or seven for the different groups I'm in, and I think I had that in one of them.
Okay.
I would not sleep on Oklahoma State at all.
No, I'm not. I have us playing Oklahoma State in the Elite Eight. I had us going all the way, but I was like, all right, we gotta think about it.
Wrong Oklahoma.
I'm like, we go up against Cade Cunningham, that hot Oklahoma State team. If Oklahoma State gets hot and makes it that far, they're gonna be very fucking tough to beat.
Yeah.
It'd be really tough to beat at that point.
But that's the question is, will they get hot after the Big 12 tourney loss?
It was a close game, though. They're still hot.
I will say this. If they beat Illinois in the Sweet 16, they would have a chance to go all the way because that would just get them back on that momentum they had until they lost to Texas in the Big 12 championship.
Because in the Final Four, too, they would more than likely be playing Baylor, who they already beat, and they've seen three times.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it could work out well.
Didn't they beat Baylor in the Big 12 tournament?
Yes,
they did.
Thought so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which that was a shocker. Sort of a shocker. Baylor was running through that conference, though.
Yeah.
So let's look overall tournament thoughts then. What do we got? We got interesting picks. How are we feeling?
I got a bunch of the 12 seeds. I like all the 12 seeds except Georgetown, actually.
I want to know why you don't like Georgetown after
I don't
what
like
they just
Georgetown.
Did.
Thank you. I don't like Georgetown either. They're big on Georgetown, it sounded like before.
No, I didn't take Georgetown.
Okay, maybe Trevor.
I think they had a good run in the Big East tournament, but they were still barely a 500 team. And I just think Colorado's set up in a better spot than the other five seeds because Creighton's been struggling and their coach had that controversy. Villanova's been pretty bad since their point guard went down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who's the other 12 seed again?
Oregon State. I got an Oregon State.
Oregon State and Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. And I was just never impressed by Tennessee, really. And Oregon State's coming into the tournament hot. So,
Oregon State is extremely hot.
So I like all the 12 seeds, actually, except for Georgetown.
Interesting.
What's the Villanova and
Winthrop? I got Winthrop.
Really?
I don't like Winthrop. I wanted to. Everything in me wanted to take Winthrop, and I couldn't find the reason to.
Well, I'm just taking them because Villanova's been bad since their point guard went down. Yeah. I have no confidence in Villanova at all. It's not so much a Winthrop thing. It's that I just have no faith in Villanova the way they played since their point guard went down.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's why I was looking for a reason with Winthrop. But I'm giving Villanova at least one win. So I have three SEC teams that I just don't think are good. I think they're all overrated. Let me know your guys' thoughts on this. Tennessee, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I'm not impressed.
Missouri, I'm not impressed. Not good. Arkansas, I'm not impressed.
I think Arkansas is good. And Musselman can coach. I mean, we saw that in Nevada when he was in our conference. Musselman can coach. So
I didn't know he was the coach there.
Yeah, he is. He's been for, this is his second year. Musselman can really coach. And I think Arkansas is legit good.
I don't know. I'm not taking them to the final four,
but I think they're a good team. Yeah. I don't have them in my final four, but I think they're a good team.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my upset that I'm throwing everything on that I want to see. Colgate beating Arkansas round one. Colgate could be an issue. Colgate actually might be really good. They're shooting over 40% from three on the season. They have one player in particular shooting 49% from three. Then Arkansas plays a very aggressive style of defense, where they come up and pressure you.
They might over-pursue. Exactly.
And Colgate,
open for three.
Colgate runs the Princeton offense where they're just backdooring teams nonstop. So against Arkansas, Colgate has the perfect matchup, I guess, against Arkansas. That's why I'm I feel like there could be an upset there, but also, I mean, I could see Arkansas beating them by 40.
I mean, almost any game.
I looked stupid.
I mean, let's be realistic. In March Madness, almost any game.
That could be literally any game.
We're talking about it right now. All of our brackets are going to be trashed in six hours into tomorrow.
Yeah, of course.
That's how it always works.
I'm going to have one Final Four team left.
Hopefully, I have more than two Final Four teams after the round of 64 this year.
Right? As soon as you see one of your Final Fours drop, it's like, no.
Everything's done.
So tough.
That's
so
many points. I had Michigan State in my championship game in 2016.
Yeah, we were talking about it right before the podcast. Grant and I both had Michigan State winning it that year. Then that's when it.
A lot of people did. Weren't they one of the most popular picks?
They were, because they were so good that year. They were the best two seed. They were one seed.
That was Denzel Valentine, right?
Yeah.
Cassius Winston also on that team?
If he maybe was not, like a
but
freshman,
we had. I think we had Matt McQuaid.
No, we had.
We definitely had Matt McQuaid.
Who's the point guard? Yeah. Miles Bridges.
We had Miles Bridges. Yeah, that was a good team.
That was a good team. And they lost to Middle Tennessee. Oh, my God.
That's March.
Remember Florida Gulf Coast?
Yeah. They took down San Diego State one year. It's that one year, too.
That was not fun. By the way,
that one hurt.
Are we still the only team to lose to a 15 in the round of 32?
Yeah.
Probably.
Might be.
No, that was funny, though, because I picked Florida Gulf Coast to beat Georgetown, and everyone told me I was stupid and that I was crazy, and then it happened. I was like, well, who's crazy now?
Then they went on.
Yeah, like all those people who pick UMBC versus Virginia. It's like, yeah, I'm actually just the smartest person in golf.
Nah, if you pick that one, that was a guess. I might give you a 215, I might, but a 116, you're just throwing that shit at the wall.
I didn't take that, but I didn't have Virginia going that far that year. Yeah. I think I had Virginia losing in the Sweet 16 that year, but some people's brackets were just trashed by that.
Yeah.
Because Virginia was the number one overall seed that year.
Dude,
they were number one AP going into the tournament.
There's something about the ACC tournament going in, right?
There's something about being the number one that it's just like, I don't like it.
Gonzaga sketches. I can't see Gonzaga losing, Gonzaga sketch me out. I don't like the fact that they're undefeated. They almost lost to BYU very recently.
Well, BYU's good, so that's not not like a bad opponent.
I mean, we saw it firsthand.
Yeah, we lost to them.
BYU's a good team. A lot of people have them getting upset. They have a tough matchup, too, with they're going to be playing the winner of Michigan State UCLA tonight, right?
No.
I think that's the case.
No, yeah, Michigan State UCLA is an 11 that would play, I think, BYU.
Yeah. Okay, so BYU is a good team, but a lot of people have whoever wins the play-in beating BYU in the first round.
I feel like they're
getting overlooked in this tournament.
There is that stat that we talked about before we came on here where every year one of the 11s that wins the playing game gets to the round of 32, and that happens every year.
Yep.
And I think I'm picking the winner of Wichita Drake over USC for that, because I feel like USC just peaked too soon. So we're kind of up and down the
stretch.
I like
Wichita, by the way, tonight.
I mean, Wichita and Drake, whoever wins, I like them against USC. Because like I said, I think USC just peaked too soon. They were up and down towards the end of the year. They didn't do very well in the Pac-12 tournament either, did they?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
The Pac-12 is so weird. The Pac-12 is just, I don't know how to understand this conference.
Dude, it's...
Oregon, I don't know if they're good. USC, I don't know if they're good. Oregon State, I know they're not good, but they just won the tournament and they beat USC and Oregon.
That's what makes this year so hard is that so many more of the games were like conference. So it's like, is everybody in this conference really good or are they all just really bad?
Especially the Pac-12 schools.
Especially.
Because they were like canceling games and like shortening their non-conference schedules.
The Pac-12 just as a whole felt like a shit show this entire season.
Oh, 100% it was.
The football season was too.
The football season was
too. The whole COVID sports thing in the Pac-12 has just been a mess.
Well, their commissioner got fired recently, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he resigned.
He resigned?
Okay, yeah. He's leaving though, thank God.
He should. Mm-hmm. He should. I mean, the Pac-12 has been going downhill.
Yeah.
They were looking like they were about to be like a premier conference up there in basketball and football, and it's gone downhill the last few years in both.
Yep.
Yeah, they got to get it together.
What happened to Arizona State this year, speaking of the Pac-12? They were a big disappointment. That didn't end up being that good of a win for us.
I remember. I know.
Yeah.
Arizona State and UCLA, I remember, were the two teams that were supposed to win the Pac-12 coming into the season.
Yep. And we beat them both, and neither one of them ended up being that good of wins for us.
Yeah, nope. Exactly.
Kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm. And we needed that, too, because like we ran through the Mountain West, besides a few hiccups, whatever. We ran through the Mountain West, though, and then it was like, well, our non-conference, we lost to BYU. And then we got Arizona State and UCLA, which turned out not to be that impressive. We got St. Mary's, but they were pretty terrible.
Yeah. The thing that people need to realize, though, and obviously this doesn't – the committee doesn't take this into account, and it really sucks because it would have made us a lot higher seed, but we would not have lost those BYU and Colorado State games if there were fans at Viejas. There's
very
no way,
true.
Especially the BYU game, because we came back, what were we down, 13 to tie it? If there were fans there.
We were getting beat by double digits, like
a
majority
of that game.
If there
were fans at that BYU game, they would have been on their feet, screaming, cheering. We would have had all the momentum and ended up winning that game. So the committee doesn't take that into account, but we would have won those two games at Viejas. We lost.
Colorado State came back on us too. Yeah, like they would not have come back on us like that.
No, if there were fans there, they would have been defeated in the first 5 minutes when we went on that huge run and the crowd got into it.
Yeah,
would have gotten into it.
That's what, like you said, like it's. I mean, the committee's mostly East Coast bias. We know that, of course.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like they don't take into account the fact of how actually crazy the show is when we're there, and the fact that San Diego State doesn't lose at home. So the fact we did it numerous times this year was like, wait a second.
I think they something's don't. I don't
off.
Even think they watch us because I was watching
one
of the things after
they
the
don't.
Tournament show, and they
Never
were talking
have.
About us against Syracuse.
Jay Bilas,
I know. And they're like, oh well, San Diego State's not a good shooting team.
Oh,
I don't even.
Jay Bilas, dude. I'm like,
I don't even
talking?
Think these dudes watch us.
They don't.
Do these dudes even watch us play?
We have not at all.
Two shooters over 40% from three, and we're not a good shooting team?
Yeah, Shackle only has the most 3-point makes on the highest percentage in the Mountain West. But yeah, we got nobody who can shoot.
Yeah.
I swear these idiots don't even watch us.
Shackle has the third highest, I think, in the entire country.
Yeah, but we got nobody who can shoot, remember?
Yeah, of course.
I swear these guys don't even watch
us. No, they have the same bias of San Diego State that they've had since like 2011, and every San Diego State team for them is the exact same year after year after year.
Yep.
They're probably like, do they still have Kawhi?
Is Xavier Thames still playing?
Yeah, for real.
Honestly, though, every time I see
J.J. O'Brien,
every time I see Jordan Shackle on the floor, I'm like, I swear to God, this guy was playing with like J.J. O'Brien.
Yes, dude. He's been
like,
there for a while.
Jordan Shackle's been here for like 18 years.
Kind of feels like he's been around a while.
Yeah.
He's been here forever, it seems like.
I don't even think he
was. I love that.
I don't even think he was a redshirt, though. I think he was just
here
for
4 years. He was a true freshman.
Yeah, he is.
But
he
it
is,
feels like
shocking.
He's been here longer than 4 years, like you said.
Right. Yeah. Coming into this year, I was like, man, did Shekel get like a medical red? Is he like 6 year in this? Turns out, nope, straight up 4th year.
Yeah.
He's the same year as Matt Mitchell.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, Matt Mitchell, I think, redshirted a year.
Did he?
Yeah, Matt
I thought
Mitchell,
he came in true freshman.
No, I'm pretty sure he redshirted the, what would that have been, the 16-17 season?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
So Matt Mitchell would be older than him then?
Yeah. Oh, I could be wrong about that, but I'm 99% sure that Mitchell redshirted the 16-17 season. I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but.
For sure.
As like
sure.
a transfer? He was a transfer, no? Or was
no,
he a true freshman?
No, we recruited him.
Refresh?
Okay. I think we recruited him out of I don't know if it was the same high school that Kawhi went to in Riverside, but it was definitely in Riverside.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, you're right on that.
Yeah, we should just Riverside needs to be our number one pipeline between Kawhi and Matt Mitch.
Yes, yes. I'm keep bringing in Riverside kids. I'm good with that.
Yeah, isn't Lamont Butler from somewhere near Riverside too?
Ooh, or somewhere around there. Right. I think you're right. That guy's
more reason. We need to talk about.
Let's talk
Butler.
About Lamont Butler for a second. I've been wanting to talk about Lamont Butler. Tell me why he's so athletic, but he looks like he just learned how to dribble a basketball.
One thing I will say about him for sure is definitely a spark plug because he started playing a lot in that second Utah State game, which we lost. Where I don't know if you guys read the Mark Ziegler article the other day where he said that even though we lost that game, it was kind of like a turning point for us because it was a close game, and if we had Mitchell, we probably would have won, and they did a bunch of things on the film. He started playing in that game, and that game ended up being a turning point for us, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was coming in, bringing the energy off the bench, getting steals, and going the other way.
Yeah.
So I think I love Lamont Butler. He's exciting.
No, yeah. I do too. It's just, and he's also a freshman, right?
He's a freshman.
I think he's a true freshman as well. Yeah. So I mean,
he's a true freshman.
Yeah. So his skills, like, it's gonna get there. But
they're gonna get
just
better.
It's just sometimes he like when I see him dribbling, it's not even the fact that he's losing the ball. I'm just like, slow down.
Yeah,
slow down.
It's a little too quick. It's a little
because he's just so
explosive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The explosion that he plays with is crazy.
Yeah. When he got that breakaway, it's just like, all right, just get under control. Get under control by the time you get to the hoop and then throw it down.
Yeah. And then beautiful. They threw it down. I was like, oh!
Hey, he's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, shoot. Any other, we'll wrap here in a couple minutes, but any other players we want to hit on we haven't talked about?
I'm good.
Well, I want to talk about Pulliam because the first half of the year, my dad and I are watching the games. We're like, why is this guy starting? Why is this guy playing? Bench right. him. But he's really come on, and he's had some big games. You know, he gets 15-point games when other guys are having a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played really, really well down the stretch, and I'm very glad to see that because in the NCAA tournament, guard play is important, which is another reason I was so excited for last year because, you know, we had Malachi as our point guard, and guard play is just so huge in March.
Yeah.
And so to see Pulliam playing much, much better the second half of the season, especially the last couple games, is just so great to see because, like I said, that's the guard play we're going to need if we want to make a run.
Dude, it really did. I remember the beginning of the season, too. I'm like, we don't have a point guard.
Yeah,
like,
I thought
literally,
that
we just didn't have a point guard. Like,
I thought that was part of the reason we were kind of in the beginning of the season.
That's that's what I do. I will admit, at the beginning of the season, I was like, ooh, we might not be that good this year. Just because I was like, I don't think we have, like, a ball handler. Like, but no, Pulliam's completely turned it around. And I feel confident now going against the press. We're going against Press Virginia, too, next round. Like, I feel confident with Pulliam, Mitchell bringing it up.
Yeah.
He's come on. You're right.
Yeah, I just want to see if we beat Syracuse, which I think we will if we play our game. I just really want to see us get past West Virginia because I really like our chances against Houston. Actually, if we see them,
I do too. Yeah.
Mm.
Let's go. Let's beat Syracuse one at a time. Let's beat Syracuse
at a time.
Tomorrow.
Can't get caught looking ahead.
Let's go, Aztecs. All right. We'll wrap up then. What we do on every podcast, we like to go random Padre of the week to just sort of end it. We can read off ours if you want to think of one real quick.
I got
quick.
A question about this. So is this definitely. Like a current team, recent team,
anything.
Or any time?
Literally
anytime.
Anything.
Anytime. Literally we anything. Just we like to throw out random Padre names. Be like, remember that guy? Yeah, who wants to start?
Clay Meredith.
Remember when he had that scoreless inning streak in 2006?
Yes, he used to be really good.
And we
really
thought this guy
good.
Was going to be the greatest thing ever. And then 2007, he was good, but it wasn't like his rookie year 06. And then 08, 09, he just stuck.
Fell off,
Kind of like the rest of our team did, except Adrian Gonzalez.
No, I remember, too. That's when I first started watching baseball, like 2005, 2006. I'm
same
like,
here,
oh, the Padres are good. I'm like, the Padres are good. And
we won the
little
division the first year I was a fan, 06.
Dude,
yeah.
In my head, I remember thinking, like, oh, the Padres win this every year, huh? No.
My parents told me when I first got in, they're like, they're not always good, you know?
You need a Clay Meredith on the bump, Dyson, to win it.
Right. Grant, who you got?
Logan Forsythe.
Logan Forsythe.
Is he still in the major leagues? I haven't heard from
him. Dude, I feel like I've heard that name recently.
He didn't even, he went to the Rays.
Yeah, he went to Tampa and then Texas after that, but I haven't heard his name in a couple years.
I'm not sure.
Mariners. I feel like I heard this name recently. I'm going to look it up, though.
He was on the Dodgers in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still in the majors? I don't even know. I haven't heard his name in forever.
He might be a free agent.
He is a free agent.
Yeah, I thought so. He'll probably be out of the league soon.
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure.
It's looking that way.
He's been there a while.
He played for the Marlins last year. He got, like, everyone who can't get a spot in the MLB, he played for the Marlins last year.
Hell yeah. That was a team to be on, though, last year.
I mean, they had an Olympic speed skater.
Let me read off the stats real quick before we overreact, boys. Four hits in 34 at-bats.
Ooh.
I can't remember what his name was.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he's not getting a contract. That's tough.
Yeah, he's done. He'll never play in the major leagues again.
Dude, all right.
They're like outfielder was like a silver medalist.
Yeah, speed skater.
Well, that's what happens when the whole team has COVID. And, like, somebody else.
And they won playoffs. They won a playoff round. That was that was insane.
But they lost the playoff round for the first time.
For the first time ever.
Yeah, because the previous two times they made it as a wild card team, they went on to win the World.
Yeah,
yep. Crazy stat.
They were interesting this year, though. My Padre, Scott Hairston.
Oh, I love Scott Hairston. That guy was so clutch. Yep.
That's a name right there.
That's a name. That's like, honestly, I really don't remember much of Scott Hairston, but I remember the name Scott Hairston.
I just remember he was so clutch. Like, he had, I think, two or three walk-off homers, and then the 07 tiebreaker in Colorado, he hit what would have been the game-winning homer in the 13th, and then, we don't talk about the rest.
We don't talk about the rest.
Actually, I'm going to, because my random Padre of the week messed that game up for us, and that's Brady Clark. Y'all remember him?
Yes.
Brady Clark.
He was the center fielder after Cameron got hurt the last season. Mike Cameron.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and people blame Hoffman for blowing the save in extra innings. If Brady Clark didn't mess up like three freaking plays in the outfield, we would have won that game in nine innings. He misplayed a ball to Lewicki hit that ended up being a double, and then Holiday singled him home after that. And then the next inning,
Seth
Smith hit
it.
A triple off the wall that he misplayed. And then Kaz Matsui comes up. He hits a lazy fly ball to center. Clark throws the ball terribly up the line with a slow runner on third base on a shallow fly ball. The dude cost us two or three runs in the game in nine innings.
Oh, man. Yeah, we just brought up a lot of bad memories.
Yeah. Does it make it hurt anymore that Colorado ended up in the World Series after that?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
it actually does, yeah.
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 That hurt.
That's a tough game. The one saving grace from that all it's horrible, but I do love yelling at Matt Holiday every single time he did come to Petco.
He's retired now.
Yeah, he did come to Petco.
That was fun.
Used to love to just we used to sit behind left field too back then all the time. So Matt Holiday would be right out there.
You gotta sit left field at Petco. The hecklers out in left field at Petco are great.
The best.
Oh, it's amazing.
The best, dude.
I remember doing that with Kemp every time he came back with Landon in Cincinnati because. Fuck Matt Kemp.
Yes, for real.
So I it's so funny because Kemp's so soft. You get in his head so easy. Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah. He starts doing that thing with his glove, like blah blah blah. You know.
Yeah, I like talking.
Yeah, he opens and closes the glove. Yeah. It's so easy to get in his head. I hate that bitch so much. Man. It's so funny.
Yeah,
but that's great.
So there it is. There's the podcast. Let's go Aztecs. We will be. I believe. David will be joining us for Padres podcast soon. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. We got opening day 2 weeks from today.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Oh my God. So excited. So excited for this baseball season. We got fans back in the stands. We got what, like 8,000 coming in?
Actually, it's going to be more
day?
Because
20% now.
Because 8,000 is 20% of the listed capacity, but. Eric Grubner, our CEO, said we can do more because we can use like park in the park areas to increase the capacity. So it'll be 20% of that, not 20% of 42,450 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely love
I like
that.
That. Sick.
All right, let's go. That's the podcast.
Is this the year?
This is the year.
This is the year.
This is our year?
Aztecs are taking the ship. Padres are taking the World Series. San Diego sports curse ended. We're knocking on wood. That's it. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review. Go follow SD Fan Central. Is that?
Yeah, you got it.
SD Fan Central on Instagram. There it is. David, thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, fellas.
Absolute blast. I I could talk San Diego sports all day, dude. I love this shit.
All right, this was great, fellas.
Thank you guys for listening. We're out.